Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Nobody Panic with me, Stevie.
And me, Tessa. And today, a special guest has joined us in the quarantine bunker.
The quarantine bunker welcomes writer-performer Rob Orton of the amazing Rob Orton Daily Podcast, which, if you haven't listened, is absolutely brilliant. Oh, I'd say it's the perfect thing to have with your breakfast in the morning.
Thank you very much. That's very nice. I'm pleased that you like it.
Rob, you do comedy, but also poetry, and also comedy slash poetry. And he's here to basically teach us and talk to us about how to write poetry. And we're not talking, you know, necessarily getting your poem into an anthology. We're just talking about how to express yourself creatively, which is something that Rob does very well and that me and Tessa would like to do more of.
Yes, you don't have to be the poet laureate. You just have to write them for yourself, maybe.
Good aim, though.
Why not? And that's the aim of this podcast.
How to be a poet laureate. That's all we're aiming for.
And I got to tell you my good theory. This is how I think school exams should be. Exactly how they do the owls in Harry Potter. And you just go one by one into a room where, like, your physics teacher has, like, you have to, like, wire a plug or, like, measure something using only a few tools. Or, like, you basically have to, like, play various escape rooms in which you apply the fucking thing you've been trying to learn, but in a real world setting.
Love that. Very good. That's why you should be the principal of all schools.
I'm pitching for Ministry of Education, and I really think I could be it.
Yeah.
Yes, but before we get in deep into poetry, I'm already very excited to talk about it.
What adult thing, Rob, have you done this week?
Well, there's a cheese plant in the front room, and I looked at it and I saw that some of the like, normally it's quite strong, and there was a new leaf, and they normally, like, spear out and then unfold, but it just stopped. And I looked at it and I thought, oh, there's something wrong there. And so I turned over the other leaves, and there was all these little bugs, so I wiped the bugs away with fairy liquid and water. And cleaned the cheese plant, and that was quite an adult thing, I thought.
That's excellent. Also, can I pop in with, I've got exactly the same problem, and I've been battling these bugs for, like, months, and I bought this fly paper on Amazon, and it's yellow, and you put a little bit of, like, a little square of it in the soil, and then when the larva hatch, they all just literally go onto the paper, and then you break the cycle.
Really?
May I? And it's only $2.99 for some fly paper on Amazon. And you might feel bad about the fly paper, but they are flies. So let's just, you know, it's fine.
Oh, that's such a good one. I've got a succulent that I've been keeping alive for months now. And it is such a little tricky, tricksy bugger. Because sometimes his leaves all roll up and you think, that's it, he's dead. That's the end. And then you put him in water, and then overnight he's like, prank. And then he looks fantastic again.
I'll tell you what is brilliant. At the start of this lockdown, I saw a video on how to regrow your vegetables in water. So we started growing this leek. Right. So basically, you just chop off the end of a leek, put it in the shot glass with some water, and then it starts growing again.
How do you feel? Like, do you feel like God?
It's bloody awesome. You can do it with onions, spring onions.
I've also got a leek, and I would say a farm of spring onions now. I've got a professional outfit going, yeah.
That's excellent. And what's your adult thing, Tessa? if not a farm of spring onions?
Oh, my adult thing is that I made these cookies that everybody, my friend Ella, who writes a cookbook called Midnight Chicken, and she's on Instagram and she's putting up all her recipes. And then everybody was doing her Paris cookies, and it was like, oh, they're so easy. And I saw all these pictures and everybody kept saying, the easiest cookies in the world. And I was like, all right, I'll give it a go. And obviously I burnt the fuckers. And I put the picture up on Instagram because they'd gone, I put them in like blobs and then stuck them in the oven, and then they'd come out just one giant burnt cookie that was raw in the middle and burnt on the edges. The easiest cookies in the world. Anyway, and I put the picture up, and then loads of people messaged very, very nicely and politely, not in a like, can I just say, they were really like, if it's at all helpful, the problem there is the tin foil. You've put them on tin foil. And so firstly, all the sort of goo and the butter in it just like swoosh, spreads out on the tin foil, but also the heat conducts in such a way that the bottom gets way hotter than the top, which is why it's burnt and raw at the same time. And so you've got to put it on baking paper, which is obviously what it said in the recipe. But
you go, fuck that.
I fuck that. I'm not doing that. I haven't got any, so fuck it. This'll do. It looks fine. But no, it turns out you've got to listen to the instructions and you do have to put it on baking paper. So just a public service announcement there. I bought the baking paper and I'm going to give it another go this afternoon. So watch this space.
Excellent.
What's yours?
Mine's very, very simple. I've decided to embark on a new project. The project is that for my whole life, all of my nightwear has been very much like t-shirts from like PE at school with like just very shit tracksuits that are from Primark. And I was like, I think like I'm 32 this year. I think it's time now that I wear like pajamas, like actual matching pajamas. So I'm starting to slowly swap them out. And I bought my first like nice pair. They arrived. They are quite weird. They've got like, I thought they were going to be like quite soft, but they've got very like puffy sleeves. Like I look a little bit like an old sort of colonial gentleman who's in like India or something. It's a very odd look. I'm going to have to pull it back and just get some nice sort of flanneled checked numbers for the future.
Like a lovely sort of Edwardian lord.
I've definitely seen it in like The King and I or something, you know?
Wow.
It's a problematic film, and they're problematic pyjamas. And I hold my hands above my head. I shouldn't have bought them. But let's get into poetry. One of the great things, I think, is that I'm somebody who, and I don't know if listening, you feel the same, but whenever someone talks about poetry to me, I did English literature, and I hated the poetry. We had to do, like, romantics, and I didn't read any of the romantics and tried to do the exam in it. Did very badly, actually. And I always feel like I don't get it, and I should. It's fair. But what's happened is that I'm reading very old poetry and being very upset that I can't understand it. And then when I listen to your podcast, or you've put some of your poems on your Instagram as well, and some on your website too, it's like, oh, well, I like that. That's good and fun. And I wish all poetry was like that. But actually, that sort of is what poetry kind of is, right?
Exactly, yeah. I think I had exactly the same feeling of reading things and not getting anything from it, and people telling me that, no, this is what it is meant to be, really good, and I should be getting things from it, but I wasn't. And I think that's why when I start to... when people say that what I do is poetry, I kind of take it as a compliment, really, because I just always say that it's writing. And then if someone gets like a poetic feeling from it, then that's really good. And I guess that's the goal. But I think loads of different stuff can be poetry, can't it? Like, I don't know, walking along a market and seeing something that giving you that feeling of an everyday, like every single person at the moment will be going through so many poetic feelings. And I guess it's just about trying to harness them and write them down and not be scared about it. But I think a lot of people get it battered out of them at school, being like, oh, I've had this feeling and it means a lot to me, but I don't know if I should write it down or not. Whereas I think everyone should be writing it down. And whenever I go up to the Edinburgh Festival, I think it's all right, it all being comedians and performers and stuff, but I wish it was more of just general people just saying how they feel about the world. I think that'd be so interesting, just to like see everyone's insight. Like, my dad was a plumber, he's retired now, but he if he got up and spoke about his day, what he was doing, I'd be really interested in that, and like everyone, you know.
Absolutely. I think so. The GCSE the English poetry GCSE this year, and I know because I helped my small cousin through it. The format was there were 30 poems, of which in the exam you would be tested on one that was written down, and then you had to know another one from memory and then compare and contrast the two. But they were all in different themes, so you basically had to make yourself this like mathematical spreadsheet about like what you, and like spread bet which ones you were going to memorize for what might come up and how you were going to compare them. So I was like, no child is going to come away with this with like an appreciation and a love of poetry. All you're going to come away with is like, oh, I hate this.
Totally.
I hate being forced to learn something and then like forced to find these, you can't be express yourself and find these amazing creative links or be able to talk about poetry if your only experience of it was like desperately trying to memorize something.
Yeah, I think a lot of English a lot of school business, let's call school business, completely eradicate. I remember like with maths and stuff, and obviously maths is very mathematical, but I remember when we went to like sixth form and loads of my friends were doing like applied maths, and it was all about like how to make things with maths, how to like, I was like, oh, that's what the triangles were. They weren't just triangles, like they were to make things. I was like, oh, I don't mind doing that actually. Yeah. It was just when it's just like, and you have to find this line of the triangle, like, I don't know what that is. And it's like, so same with like poetry, you're just seeing it as like syncopated rhythm and all of these like things. It's like, well, if it's like this, then it's like this, and this means that, and it's like, and it becomes like you're learning a language that you can't access.
I was going to say, what is it that first got you into poetry?
The first thing, I think, I did a degree in graphic design. And that was all about ideas, right? And they were just interested in the concepts behind how your stuff looked. It wasn't so much about how your stuff, but they were really interested in the ideas. And we were doing these lino prints, and it was all about money. And I had an idea that was, you've never handled anything so much that so many other people have handled. And that was... I mean, it's not a mind-blowing thought or anything like that, but I got a good grade for it. And I thought, oh, right. And then it was quite succinct. And I thought, oh, maybe I'll try and write some more things like that. And then when I saw a documentary about Ivor Cutler on BBC Four, and I saw what he was doing, and I thought, oh, God, I love that. Because it wasn't really poetry and it wasn't really comedy. It was just... it was both, but it was just coming at it from a completely different angle, and there was no pretentiousness about it, and it just made me think that it's like when you see a piece of art that kind of makes you think, oh wow, this is it just puts you into a different place. And that's what I think everyone needs, that if they to get, it's like that massive thing of being inspired for the first time. I was just like, oh God, I'm going to try and do some of that.
So for any of our listeners who are not au fait with your poems and your work, do you want to maybe read one of your poems to us, and then everyone kind of can just also just have a lovely bit of enjoyment in your day?
So this is called Entertainment. We'll treat it as entertainment, shall we? What shall we treat as entertainment? That tree over there, the one with the sky behind it. Yeah, okay. Has the entertainment started yet? Yes, it has. We've missed the beginning, haven't we? Yes, we have. Will we get to see the end? No, we won't. We have to make the most of the bits we get to see. Catch them in our thought nets. A quickly reversing car. The smile of someone you like. The bright colours of the junk mail on the doormat. The sun shining on the last orange in the fruit bowl. We are so futuristic to those who are gone, historic to those who are to come. We owe it to them to have a look at it all while we've still got the chance.
That's, oh my God.
So lovely. Oh, I just want to have a sit and think about it.
That's the thing, isn't it? And just to do a little shout out for your podcast, the Rob Orton Daily Podcast, it is so beautiful. And I think, forget all those, you know, the Calm Headspace app, just like, you've got the most beautiful voice, the most beautiful way of looking at the world. And I truly think there's such a delightful little mini mini thing to listen to every day. You brighten my day no end. That was absolutely beautiful. And I just think, like, you know, if you were then made to talk about it in a lesson or whatever, you're like, it sort of takes away from the magic of being able to experience something between like you and the artist or whatever, or like, you know, take whatever you personally want from your piece to then have to sit in a classroom and talk about, you know, iambic pentameter or whatever.
Definitely. One of the best things is that I've got to do a few festivals like Bestival and Camp Bestival, and Camp Bestival, especially with all the kids there. There's a lot of kids at that festival. And sometimes when I read the poetry out, their reaction to it is exactly the reaction I had to it when I was writing it. So their laughter is in exactly the right place where I thought something was funny, and they're like bang on it, more than the adults, the kids. One exercise I like to try and do is get the Argos catalogue, or when there was Argos catalogues, and just flip through it with your eyes shut, put your finger on a random object and try and write a poem about it, whether it's like a kettle or a cupboard or something, you know. That's fun.
Is that if you had to, and I know it's horrible being asked to like give advice or give top tips, but if that was the thing that you, for people who wanted to start, who'd never written a poem before and wanted to start, is that where you'd say just start with something like that?
I think the biggest lesson that I've learned with anything of standing up and stuff like that is that the only thing that we've got that's unique is ourselves. And that's it. Anything else that you try to do that's different to that, that's coming from your personal perspective, is not going to have the same impact as a feeling that you had when you were walking down the street, when you like tripped up and then you saw a red car or something and you're like, oh wow, this is weird, I feel weird about this. And like, yeah, I think the best thing to do is like just try to pin those things down, that when they come to you, and say like if you're just getting in a relationship with someone or breaking up, and like you've got this stuff that's coming at you from all angles, it's like if it comes to you in specific sentences or something like that, just flipping go like that, bang, and nail it down on paper. And because it's a really good way of doing it, and everyone's human experience is like the it's obvious, but the more specific you make it, the more people can like latch onto it. Whereas if there's a famous quote about like, if you try to write something about a brick wall, people won't get anything from it. But if you focus on one brick and just talk about the cracks in it and stuff like that, and the moss growing around it, then people might latch onto it a bit more. And I think it's just about, especially when we're in this lockdown situation at the moment, there's so many things. Like one of my mates sent me a message about, he started this creative writing thing, and he was talking about, he sent me this bit of writing that he's done, and it was about the fact that he's in lockdown with his mum and dad, and he halved a cheese and pickle sandwich with his dad late at night, and it was like this really special moment between them. The emotion that he put into that writing, from just something as clear as day as a cheese and pickle sandwich and your dad, it's like that's where the magic is. And that's where, it's not about trying to be clever or make it rhyme or anything like that. And he said to me, like, it's like, what is it? It's not poetry. It's not short stories. It's not, it's like, what is it? And that's where it is for me. That's the good stuff. It's like, just get it down and don't worry about it, because the more it becomes like a right and wrong answer, that's where I wash my hands with it. And when I first started writing poetry or writing, I put it on this website called Poem Hunter, just to try to share my work. And this guy got in touch with me and sent me a direct message and was like, I've written all your poems for you. They are rubbish, but they are better than your rubbish. And he'd rewritten them so they all rhymed, and it was all, I was like, oh, not interested.
One awful way of looking at anything, and especially poetry, to say, I've made it better now because it rhymes. Like, an outrageous thing to do.
I was going to ask, Rob, do you have any, the original question I was going to ask was like, are there any good like resources for budding poets? But actually I'm going to reframe that, because I think that that is, like I always do, the more like academic, like what are the rules? And what sort of situations or places or things do you feel most most conducive to being creative? Obviously everything in the everyday that you've talked about, but are there specific times or things that you like to do that kind of get the juices flowing?
Overhearing a lot of stuff and being inspired by that, like just being in the everyday situations. Like I was in the supermarket and there was two guys and they were thinking about what meat to buy for a roast, and one said to the other, oh no, she won't eat pork because it's got religion in it. And that was so inspiring to me. And it just a simple thing like that just throws the whole religion thing into, like, it just lights me up. Just like stuffing that happens in post offices. And I love reading. One of my favourite books is this. It's called SUM, 40 Tales from the Afterlife.
Oh, my God. David.
Have you read that?
Yeah, good, really. I read it standing up in the bookshop.
And he's a brain surgeon, isn't he? This David Eagleman. He's like one of the brainiest people around, but he's written this whole book about what it might be like to be like in the afterlife. So it's just short stories. This one's called Mirrors, and it starts off, I don't know how this is going to go, but he says, when you think you've died, you haven't actually died. Death is a two-stage process, and where you wake up after your last breath is something of a purgatory. You don't feel dead, you don't look dead, and in fact, you are not dead yet. And just stuff like that. I love that. And then, like, Bob Dylan was the first person, really, where he made me think, oh, wow, you can put words together and they don't have to make sense. And he's got a book called Tarantula, that it's all, like, peak 1965 stream of consciousness stuff, like Dracula smoking a cigarette and eating an angel, the ghost of a cheetah. And just images like that. I love stuff that puts images in your head that aren't already there, like the ghost of a cheetah. How good is that? And that's it. It's like trying to stay inspired and just engaged with the world, even though there's so much shit. Bob Dylan and David Eagleman and then people like John Hegley and Werner Herzog. And it's just so much, but it's difficult because I really get really, really sad. Talking about my work, it energizes me and it makes me realize why I do what I do. And I really like reading the Red Hand Files by Nick Cave. And it's just these like letters that he sends to his fans on his website, redhandfiles.com. And someone asked him what he thought about Kanye West. And he said that he's one of, if not the most important living artist, because being an artist is all about committing to your own derangement. And no one does that more than Kanye West. And I think that that is what I try to do, is like a lot of the stuff that I do is quite deranged, and it might not make sense to me straight away, but it's like that feeling of, oh, I like that. I'm going to flipping write that down and commit to it. And then stand up on stage and people look at you like you're an absolute moron, but you've just got to take it on the chin and tweak it a little bit. And thing is as well, there's a lot of discipline in it, isn't there? I'm trying so hard to make myself write, because I can be quite lazy sometimes. And I know that if I really force myself to do it, and then you go to bed and then you wake up in the morning, you're like, oh, yeah, I did that. It's like I've got a thing about cleaning out the fridge. And, you know, when you clean out the fridge and then you forget you've done it, and then you open it and you're like, oh, yes, I did that. It's the same thing of like writing something or just...
How do you go about that discipline? Are you like, OK, well, I'm going to put aside half an hour at this time? Or are you like half an hour at any point in the day? Or do you just try and write every day? Like, how do you do it?
Well, when it comes to the crunch with writing for the Edinburgh shows, I try to do I start my stopwatch and write for an hour and then put a tally mark down and try to do 5 hours. And if I get distracted, stop it and then do it and try and really hammer it out. And those are the days when I get most stuff done, really. But the discipline of I need deadlines, basically. Like, we're doing this podcast at the moment and I've got to write the June episodes. And so I'll just try and... It's pressure. I think everyone needs to be pressured. And one of the hardest things I find about being self-employed is that your boss is you, and, like, you've got to give yourself a bollocking, and it's really brutal.
Yeah, and that boss is very lax.
Yeah, that boss is taking a lot of lunches.
Yeah, you're your own boss, but you're also your own employee, and, like, everybody in the company is shit. Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I think it must be really hard at the start to not just think everything you've done is shit. That is must be very hard. Did you feel like that at the start, Rob, when you were just sort of having a go?
Yeah, 100%, yeah, totally. And I don't know how you get past that. You've just got to, like, believe in yourself enough to try to keep going with it. And I think I just, with the... I think one good thing that I would say is that if you can find the open mic poetry night, there's one in Covent Garden. I know that sometimes people get told off for being London-centric, but there's poetry, open mic poetry nights all over the country. And in this lockdown, if you do write something down and you work on it and you look at it and you like it, nothing will give it more, like, muscle and belief in it more than you standing up in front of a room of people and just reading it. And it's such a brilliant challenge. And I used to go to there's one in Covent Garden. It's every Tuesday night at 7:30. Sometimes you get 50 people reading for 5 minutes. And it's just as some people have never done it before. Some people have done it for ages. But it's so, people are so accepting. And it's really inspiring of hearing different people reading of just their truth, really. And all these different experiences. And I think that's what it is. It's just, for me, I only write to try to make myself excited about being alive, basically.
Truth is just the whole heart of it, isn't it? I think, because whatever creative outlet you find, if that's writing or painting or poetry or anything, in the beginning you'll only ever be sort of aping the stuff that you like and doing, you know, a painting that looks like whatever you like, or you're writing in the style of your favorite poet or whatever. And it takes such a long time to be like, oh, this is my personal style or my voice, or like my truth is finally like coming out here. And I'm sure that takes such a long time for that to be allowed. But that truth can only come out if you sort of pave the way by like putting the time in and doing the stuff.
The idea of an open mic poetry night might feel, if obviously if you're not someone who's like a performer, or you know, might feel absolutely terrifying, but I do think that's a great idea, because you're right, nothing says I back myself than reading it out. But one thing that I thought would be quite helpful if for people who would be quite maybe too frightened to do that is you could go to a few before you like read, because then you see, without wanting to be like mean, I guess, then you can see like where the bar is and how the bar can be quite low. Some things you'll engage with, and some things you'll be like, what was that? And that's what's great about these like scratch nights, or these, it's like when we started doing comedy and Tessa ran this night, and I went to a few of them, and she was like, you should see, like, look, it's fine. It's just people saying things, and there's like 10 people in the room, and like no one, and then it finishes and no one cares. And I still very much struggle to do it, but it really did help seeing that like other people, it really inspires me when like other comedians forget their words and have to read, because I always read off a script because I get really nervous about line learning. And I love it when I like you see people and they're like, oh, I've forgotten what I was saying, sorry, hang on. And you're like, yes, you're allowed to do that. And it's like with open mic poetry, like if you go and see some, you will definitely see stuff that you will think, oh, what, I could have a go at that. I could definitely do something like that. And people don't have to be natural performers to be poets, do they? So, you know, I'm sure a lot of people will be quite nervous and, you know, worried and just really reading. And then some people will just be really just like flowing it, and it's great. But you can just, you know, there's a whole spectrum, basically, is what I'm saying.
The poetry community sounds much more supportive and inspiring than the stand-up community. When people ask us about doing stand-up, I always say go to an open mic night, like people doing it for their first time, or just, you know, go to the shittest one you can find. And I say not to be inspired, but to see just how shit it is, and to be like, if that man can get up and tell those terrible jokes, then like, then so can you. Whereas it sounds like sort of the polar opposite is the poetry community. It has this like, everyone's welcome, everyone's just allowed to say their thing, everyone's so supportive. supportive. Everybody's acknowledging that this art form is really sort of ethereal, and there is no right and wrong. And it's like, you know, yeah, come up, tell your truth. It sounds really wonderful. I'm excited to go to one.
It's brilliant. It's so inspiring because you hear so many words just for a night. And one of the good things is as well is that I often go and people say things and I think, are they going to say that? Are they going to say that? Are they going to say, no, they didn't say that. Right. I'll have that. Cheers. I highly recommend that. And the thing is, there is no bar. And if there is a bar, it can do one because no one, you know, just have a go. And it's really, the bar can be left behind at school. And it's like, no, thanks. There's no results. That's the thing. It's like, and there might be someone there who says something that really resonates with the room. And then, but then you look at that and you go, oh, right, that got the room like that. It's like seeing someone do a good speech at a wedding. It's the same thing. It's like some are crap.
Even the crap ones, you're always like, oh, good on you for trying.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You really admire them for just getting up and trying. There's nothing more, actually, that I feel, there's nothing more heartwarming than seeing like the father of the bride or the mother of the bride standing up and they're not a public speaker and they're like really frightened and they like pop in a joke and they're like, the joke, and everyone goes like, yay! Because it's like, this is a joke!
And exactly the same is like when those speeches have clearly come from like bestman.com and are just like a sort of a generic mother-in-law joke or a generic joke. Everyone's like, I mean, ha ha, but like, fuck off. Yeah. But like when it's, even if they're just telling the smallest story about, you know, something little, something that's a true story and they're saying why they thought that was funny or heartwarming or sad or sharing that, then like those are the moments where you're like, holy fuck, that's what it is to be alive and be a human being. Like that's it right there. That we've captured it, you know.
You're probably also doing this thing where you write down your thoughts or whatever without even realizing you're doing it, because like, you know, when you're at school or when you're when I was at uni or whatever, and I've got all these ring binders at home with all my lecture notes, but then in the margins are like stupid notes I've written to friends or like stupid drawings I've done of the lecturer, or do you know what I mean, like the things that I was bored about, but I'm like, well, that's not the important stuff. But if you go back and you look at like your work notebook or your notes that you just take in meetings and stuff, it's the things that you do when you're bored where you're like, I've sort of zoned out. You're actually sort of zoning in, so that could be a good starting point. But yeah, maybe you, like, if you actually really interrogate yourself, you'll be able to. And I like you say, Rob, all of it is poetry. Like, what isn't poetry?
I was going to say, I've only ever written one, like, poem. I used to write a lot of poems as a kid because I was very into Roald Dahl's Revolting Rhymes. And I knew them all off by heart and it was my party piece. And so I thought poems had to be in this, like Roald Dahl rhyming couplets. I thought that's what a poem was. And then I remember... we did Paradise Lost at school and we could not get through it. Everyone was like, this is absolute dog shit. Like, what is this? And eventually our teacher was like, right, everybody go outside, go away from somebody else and read it out loud. And then everyone came back being like, oh my God, it's so good. Whoa. Like, oh, okay, we get it. Like, this is a fucking great poem. Anyway, the only thing I've ever properly written that was like, was when I was broken up with, and I wrote the most pretentious piece of poetry, and I found it the other day, and honestly, I felt so ill, but I didn't delete it because I was like, oh, it's such a testament to like how I was feeling at the time, and I, even though it's so dramatic and it's so pretentious, it really speaks to like how I was feeling, and I think, and I wasn't making it up, those feelings, you know, I really, that is exactly how I felt, and I felt that dramatic and that nuts.
And it's valid. You know, everything
is valid.
Everything,
yeah.
I went home and I found the only poem that I remember ever writing or I've ever got any evidence of is at school we were asked to write a poem and it could be about anything. And I decided to write a poem about the factory being built over a park. So they were in like these small, like I was seven, like these like dramatic verses that would start with like the fountain, the lake sparkling and shining, now lies dead. and it was all about like litter, and that's good because it showed, because I was absolutely obsessed with like the world and climate change, and like I couldn't, and I was very like that was like my whole world, and that was very much how I was feeling, even though it's shite, like it's cute and it's funny, and I, you know, do you know what I mean, like it's, there is no bad, like there's no, even if your breakup poem is really cliched, like you feel cliched when you're broken up with, just like when like someone dies, or well, you find the words that you're saying are things that you've seen in a film, and that you can't get, it's really hard to get away from them, and that's that's just as valid as coming up with, like, you know, a new thought. Like, what is it? What is it? The thought of coming up with a new thought is maybe one of the reasons why I struggle to be creative sometimes, because I'm always like, I must come up with the new thought.
But I think, Stevie, that you have new thoughts all the time.
Thank you.
You're welcome. you say shit to me all the time that I'm like, no one's ever said that before, or I don't think they'll say it again, you know, like,
okay.
And I think if you sit down to be like, I think you've inadvertently hit the nail on the head, which is if you sit down to write a new thought, like, you'll be there all day. But if you just look in your back catalog of things that you've
already thought.
Or if you just say to someone else, like, can you name a new thought I've had? They'll be like, yes, that nuts thing you said once on the bus, that time that you pointed to a tree and said, like, how do they hold their purses? Like, they haven't got any fingers. Like,
oh,
you know,
God, yeah.
Like, you know, like, okay, people will sure. be able to tell you, you know, but we're so obsessed with being like, okay, we're always looking outwards when we should be looking in, you know?
Yes. Yeah, like, that's why I really liked that. I really liked that poem that you read, Rob, about, like the bit where you talked about how we're not going to see the beginning and we're not going to see the end. It's like, oh, yeah, like, I know that, but I've never heard it framed in that. Like, it's just very unique the way that you framed it. And also, you sound very much like you when you talk. It's not like you suddenly become this, like, I remember my English literature lecturer had a voice, a normal voice, and whenever he read poems, he would put on this voice. It's so weird. And he'd do it for Chaucer, obviously, and he'd be like, oh, willy madoo, willy, like, he'd go all, like, wispy with his throat. And it was like, that's what poetry is. You have to go wispy with your throat.
But equally, like, spoken word has that same, like, life, but inside me and outside this box, like, you have this. And it doesn't have to be that, you know, it's possible to present your ideas that doesn't feel like it's a show or a, you know, and this is my spoken word voice,
yeah,
you know, like, you can say it in your normal way.
In terms of people listening, like, you kind of go, oh, well, I don't know if I want to be a poet, or I work in marketing, why should I? But, like, what's interesting is that I think, and we talked about it on, like, an episode a few months ago when we did, like, how to be creative, and it wasn't about, like, how to be creative for a job. It was like how to just get more creativity in your life. I feel like that's almost like what you're talking about it doesn't matter what you're doing it for, just get it down, because it will sort of nourish you in some way. And I was going to ask you, how important is it to just write for yourself?
It's the most important thing, isn't it? And a lot of the time, like, not thinking about who's going to, if it's going to end up in a show, or if it's going to end up in a book, or if it's going to end up on a flipping thing on Twitter or something. It's just about when those ideas, if they come to you, just get them down as quick as you can and type it down or write it down. And then I just normally forget about it. And then a few days later, if the idea comes back to me, I'm like, oh, yeah, I wrote that. And then you go back and read it with a fresh pair of eyes. And then it becomes very clear whether it's decent or not, because 95% of stuff that I write down is, it doesn't resonate with me at all. Whereas there's a bit of it that does. And they're the bits that I latch onto. And I think everyone has these impulses of these feelings that come over them, and it's just about trying to write it down, even if you don't think it's good language or whatever. It's just like, flipping, get it down. How's your mum made you feel today? And don't worry about what the writing is, just do it. And or like, one of the most powerful things I ever saw was, like, when my granny was on her deathbed and my mum said to her these simple words, was like, go, you were such a good mum, you know, you were such a good mum to me. And it made me think about what I would say to my parents. It made me, like, I don't want them to have to be on their deathbeds before I say how good they've been, you know. And it was just stuff like that. And I think this, when it comes to family and like the big stuff, like other people and friends, like, I've got one line in my show about, because I'm quite socially awkward, and I find I'm sort of suffer from, like, I get really stressed and worried. I'm a very sensitive person, and I worry about what people think of me and things like that. And I think everyone does. But just one of the things that seemed to resonate people was, I wish I'd taken the time just to say to my friends, like, thanks for being my friend. I really like you, you know. I want you to know that I really like you, and I don't want you to ever feel like you're on your own. And if there's one thing that I could recommend, is, like, phoning your mates up and saying, I really like you, thanks so much, you know. And that's not poetry. What is that? It's just stripped away. Human, like one of my favourite people is Daniel Johnston, the singer songwriter, and he doesn't try. It just flows out of him.
What would you say then to people who feel like it doesn't flow out of them, or maybe that they do have these big feelings, but they don't know how to express them, or they have those moments that you're talking about, and you know, on a deathbed or seeing a red car on the street, and then you're like, but then when it gets to actually trying to put it down on paper, that's when they sort of it fails them, and they don't feel like they, you know, can express, they can't get down exactly what it was they wanted to try and say.
I don't know. I think that if you do it and it resonates with you, then it's a good thing to do. Whereas maybe you do it and it doesn't resonate with you, and then maybe that's not the thing, and maybe you need to go at it from a different form of art, or just talking to someone. Or
what you were saying before is almost sort of it, which is just like, it's the moment that you start judging it, then you're never going to do it. Like, I remember, and I've talked about it a lot on the podcast in the past, about how I used to get given all these beautiful notebooks, and I used to always like really like lovely leather bound. And they just sat in my cupboard for like years and years and years, because I was like, well, I could never think of anything good enough to, like, I'd have to write a novel in one of those, or I'd have to write like just some really good thoughts that like will be, I don't know, unearthed in 1,000 years, and people will be like, this is what people lived like. And I got so stressed that but then the moment I started to be like, I'm just going to use those notebooks for like just actually making lists for my day, then now it's like, it kind of, what's the word, demystifies all the process. And I would, when I was writing my Edinburgh show, because I've only done two, with the second one, I was so stressed. In my first one, I felt very, very like I had to, I kept saying, I'm just doing it for me, you know, but I couldn't. And I was like, but is it good? And I would like sit down and I would write. And then for my second one, I would make sure that I wrote pretty much everything on my phone notes, like on a bus while I was doing something else. So I'd trick myself into feeling like I wasn't doing this big grand thing that had like an ancestress line right up to these, you know, incredible comedians and incredible writers that I could never live up to. It was just me and like my thoughts. And I think it feels like one of the first steps is like being like, my thoughts are valid, and everything that I put down on a piece of paper is valid because it's mine. And if I'm not doing it for anyone to mark it or grade it, like we're taught, like you were saying, Tessa, about at school, you're literally taught from when you are, your brain is forming, you're taught that things are right or wrong, and creativity is right and wrong. And even if you do like a bit of creative writing, someone will like scrawl all over it, which is, to be honest, is also kind of how, what it's like to make a living in the creative world. People just scrawl all over everything. But for yourself, like I mean, like scrap, like if you don't, like you were saying, if you write a thought down, you're like, oh, it doesn't really resonate, maybe you could try like scrapbooking, or maybe you could try doodling, and like, you know, start doodling when you're on the phone or when you're like watching TV or when like something, so you're doing something else, but you're just like sneakily getting a bit of like your soul out while it's not looking.
I would like to spend the whole day with you, Rob, but we do have to
go.
I was trying to be a bit more poetic about it, but I was wondering if you had another poem to bring us home.
Well, this is for my mum. It's about when she comes and visits me in London, and I go and meet her at King's Cross, and hopefully when all this is over, we will do that. It's called Platform. I stand on King's Cross Platform 4, waiting for my mum to arrive on the 0912 from York. In my hands, I hold a laminated A4 piece of white paper with the word MUM clearly printed in the middle. The train pulls in and the passengers alight. Those who are not my mum walk past me. Grown men read my sign and continue on their journeys. Ladies who fit the description look at me in a motherly way. They know that they are not my mum, but for a split second they think the sign might possibly be for them. I wait patiently until a lady sees the sign, stops, and smiles.
Oh, that's lovely. God. That's so sweet.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's sweet. Beautiful. And so apt as well. Like, it's such a...
Yeah.
For now, that's all we want now.
Yeah, waiting. The privilege of waiting for somebody at a train station, or indeed of being waited for, you know?
Yeah.
Going somewhere and someone being there for you. Oh, Lord, I've got a lot of emotions and I'm going to put them all down on paper and start my notebook.
Yes. Thank you so much, Rob. That was absolutely genuinely an absolute pleasure. It really was. It was wonderful. And do follow Rob at Robert Orton on Twitter and also at Rob Orton Podcast. And what's your Instagram?
At Rob Orton, AUTON.
The podcast is called the Rob Orton Daily Podcast. And also, if you go on your website, a lot of your books are for sale. Am I right?
Yes, thank you. They are very much for sale at the moment.
Getting that e-commerce out there.
Yeah.
So the books of all Rob's previous shows, and there's poetry. Are they your illustrations in there?
Yeah, yeah.
You're absolutely fantastic.
Wow. Wow, it's a very inspiring, just creatively in general, person. And also, we're at Nobody Panic Pod. I'm at Stevie M. The S is a 5.
I'm at Tessa Coates. The email is nobodypanicpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to send us your poems, if you want to send us any suggestions, if you want to tell us, just tell us about your lockdown experience.
You know what,
if
please.
You want to vent how you're feeling and you don't know where else to put it and you haven't got an open mic night to go to, come and send us your stuff.
Please do.
We'll have a read.
Again, any podcast episode suggestions, please. So yeah, if you want us to tackle something, then absolutely let us know. And thank you so much. And we'll see you next week. Thank you so much,
thank
Rob.
Thank you so much, Rob. You've been absolutely amazing. What
Thanks
a wonderful
me.
Guest. You've been a joy.
Absolutely
thank you. So, I feel so inspired. Hope you feel inspired at home. And we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, you might enjoy our podcast. It's called Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.
We have a podcast and it might be, I probably don't want to sound, you know, like I'm bragging, but it's dynamite. It is electric. It's high voltage. And please, we really need you to listen. You don't understand how much we need this.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. But yeah, this one is coming. This one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.